chapter 61 with me this morning, please. Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Father, anoint your word now. You inspired it, you gave it, you preserved it. And Father, we ask you to anoint it this morning as it goes forth now. Not the word of man, not my word, but your word. In the holy name, amen. You can be seated. The Lord Jesus grew up in Nazareth. The scripture says in Luke chapter number 4 and verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now watch carefully. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now what I read to you from Isaiah 61, you know that it goes on to say, "The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. What you have there is a space of 2,000 years between the first part of verse number 2 and the last part. The Lord Jesus intentionally closed off by saying, "The acceptable day of the Lord," or the acceptable year of the Lord, which most people believe, and I do, has to do with the day of Jubilee, or the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. After a series of 7 times 7, we come to the 50th, and it's the year of freedom and the blowing of the trumpet and all that goes with it. What we have here, though, is a direct revelation without question that the Lord Jesus Christ is identifying himself as the Mashiach, as a Messiah. He's doing this publicly because there's no doubt in their mind, the mind of the Jew who knew his Bible, that the 61st chapter of Isaiah is a direct reference to the Messiah, the Mashiach. In the New Testament, Christos, it's a title. The Messiah means the anointed one in Hebrew. Christos means the anointed one in Greek. So they are, of course, complement each other, referring to the same person. Note carefully that he personally, publicly identified himself as the Messiah. This is important to understand this, because he wanted all present that day to know that that scripture was being fulfilled in their ear. When Gabriel came to Mary, the angel said to Mary, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So here's another identifier, and that is, this is his name, Jesus. And this name means Jehovah saves. So he is identified by heaven, by the angel, as the Savior. No question about that whatsoever. And believe me, he is. Now, he does save, certainly, many things that he does. But he himself is salvation. To receive Christ is to receive salvation. To reject Christ and expect him to do something for you in the sense of salvation is foolishness and insanity. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. But there's a third identifier, and this one is the one that the Apostle Peter said. He said, "To who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Well, each successive revelation from heaven and from God gets a little deeper into his identity. For when he said, "Thou art the Christ," that's the anointed one, that's a title. But then he said, "The Son of the living God." It goes no deeper than that. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't tell you that, but my Father which is in heaven. So he chose to reveal that directly to the heart of the disciples, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So who is he today? Oh, he'll say he's a great teacher, preacher. Oh, he's a wonderful sage. Oh, he set the example for us that we should try to live like he did and live after him and so forth. And oh, what a teacher he is. We can take the great teachings of Christ and compare them with the teachings of others that have come, the great sage here and there and this and that and so forth. No, forget that. The Lord Jesus Christ is either God or he's nothing. Amen. He's not to be compared with anybody. There is no comparison. He is head and shoulders above all that ever walked on the face of this earth. There's another like him. There's only been one of his kind. There'll only be one of his kind. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And beside him, my dear friend, there is none other. So what we start with here in the book of Luke chapter number 4 and Isaiah chapter number 61 is a declaration of who he is. And I want you to notice as we break this down in the book of Isaiah chapter number 61, he said that he hath sent me and anointed me to preach. Well, in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 13, he was baptized in the Jordan River, baptized by John the Baptist, the forerunner, the announcer, the runner that announced the coming of Christ. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This anointing was necessary, even though he was a sinless, perfect, virgin-born Son of God. Everything he was about to do, he was going to do it with the anointing of God. He was going to do it under the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, my dear friend, when God fills us, and thank God he does, and I look for the filling of the Holy Spirit, he cannot fill my mind like he filled his, for my mind is not capable of holding what his did. He cannot fill my soul like he filled his, for my soul is not capable of holding what he did. But my dear friend, the Bible says that when God gave the Holy Spirit to our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not give it to him by measure. He gave it to him in the absolute fullness of the Holy Ghost of God. My friend, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything the Father was to the Son, everything the Holy Spirit could be to the Son, was in the Son while he lived on this earth, my friend, and lived a sinless, perfect life. So he said, he hath anointed me to preach. This is not something you decide you want to do. It's not some application that you fill out and say, well, I believe I'm going to be a preacher. You may try it. You may say the words. But there's far more involved in preaching God's word than simply the ability of a man. Amen. I mean, you've got sideshow barkers. They can sell this and sell that. They can speak well. They're eloquent and all that. I mean, they can lecture to high heaven. But my dear friend, preaching falls into an entirely different category. This anointing of the preaching of the word of God is what we're starving to death for today. We're starving to death for it, for God's hand upon a man, and for the people to know that that man is rising above the ability of a man. Amen. So he anointed him to preach, and there was no greater preacher that ever lived on this earth than our Lord Jesus Christ. I like to identify myself as a preacher with him. It doesn't get any higher than that. If he's the preacher, then praise God for what little bit of preaching I might do. I thank God for it. But notice carefully what he says in Matthew chapter number 9. The scripture says, the good tidings unto the meek, he said in Isaiah 61. What does that mean? Well, it's the poor, the afflicted, the humble, the meek. As the elite, and we have plenty of them in this country now, we have billionaires on both sides of the political party, billionaire fighting billionaires. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Let me say something a wise man said one time. If it doesn't make any sense, somebody's making money. Amen. And there's a lot of things that don't make any sense about what's happening now. Amen. So you're not looking at a Republican. You're not looking at a Democrat. You're not looking at an independent. You're looking at a preacher of the Word of God. We'll let the Word take care of it. The Word of God has its ability to separate. I don't like killing babies, do you? I like for men to be men and women to be women, don't you? I don't want men going in, stripping off in front of girls. I don't want teenage girls having to look at me, do you? No, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in this country I don't have much of a problem deciding who I'm going to vote for, amen? So this is what we should be doing right now, doing some serious praying about what we do. Good tidings unto the meek. Well, what are the good tidings? Well, my dear friend, it says in the book of Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ knows all of the little ones, the peons, you know, the plebes, those that don't have power, those that don't have influence. You don't have any connections in government, do you? No, I don't. I don't know a single one of them. And let me tell you something. That's fine, because the one that I serve this morning is the one that told my dear friend the sun to come up, and he'll put the moon in its place. And he moves that one, the heart of the king, and he can raise one kingdom up and put another one down. That's the one I serve today. He'll be around 100,000 billion years from now. If there is no America, he'll still be around as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says over here in Isaiah 61, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Our sister just said, we have people in this house today who are brokenhearted. Life will break your heart. If it hasn't yet, sail on. If you haven't had hard times, just live on. The earth has much to offer in way of surprises. The sun came up this morning, you had your breakfast, and you were singing in your heart, thank God it's been a good day. But before you go to bed tonight, news may come to your soul and into your home that completely turns your world upside down. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here as an alarmist, but I'm here to tell you the way life is. How many times have I gotten up like that? And before I laid my head in the bed that night, news came to me that I did not want to hear. But he said he came to bind up the brokenhearted. Book of Luke chapter number 7, a place called Nain. I've been there. I mean, it's one of the most insignificant places you've ever seen in the Holy Land. They have to point it out because it's no more than just the side of a hill. It's just a bank, and there's nothing there practically. And our guide says, oh, by the way, they say, because there's nothing there. This is Nain. 2,000 years ago, here was a funeral procession. A funeral procession carrying a body of a young man that had just died. And the Bible says, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Boy, if the future looked bleak for her, if anybody was brokenhearted, it had to be this lady. I mean, she had no hope. The only hope she had was lying dead in that casket, and they were carrying a dead body. But the Bible says much people of the city was with her. The Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. He came and touched the bier. He touched the bier. You see, the priest could not touch a dead body. He wasn't allowed to touch the dead body because it would contaminate him. It would move upon his righteousness, his cleanliness or whatever. He couldn't do that. And our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be clean. He cannot be dirtied. He cannot be brought diminished. All he had to do is touch it, and mercy and virtue went out from him, and he raised the dead. Is that where you are this morning? Are you in a place where your heart's broken? Well, come to the one who can raise the dead. I don't know what the dead may be, a figure of speech in your life, but he can raise it. He can change your life. He can give you a life that you never thought you could ever have. Your hopes may be dashed upon the rocks of this world. You may feel like that the whole world is turned against you. Truth is, don't put your trust in this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ can still raise the dead. The Bible said in Isaiah 61, he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to those that are bound. A man that serves sin, the Bible said, he that committeth sin is a servant of sin. Sin is a debilitating thing. And the more I study it, the more I say to myself, this sin issue has got to, it worsens. In time, it gets worse and worse and worse. It binds, it holds, it captivates. It literally takes you and makes you a slave. And you feel like you can't live without it. Some of your own drugs. You get a little freedom here, a little freedom there, but you're right back on them again. And you say, well, I can't break it. Some of you are hooked on pornography. Half the men in the church, they say, hooked. The church I'm talking about now, I'm not talking about Fifth Avenue, I'm talking about the church. Hooked on pornography. You say, well, preacher, you know, I mean, it's after all, we're all sinners. You realize what it's doing to you? Do you realize what it's doing to your wife, your family? You realize how it's perverting your mind? You realize how it's blackening and darkening your heart? You realize what a wall of separation is put between you and your loved ones? Sin has that ability. It can do that. And when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. But there's a that's you're captive. You're bound up. And here's the thing. Well, say, preacher, I've tried every program there is. I've gone through this 21-point program. I've met with this crowd. We've opened up. We've talked. We've met. We've talked. We've had our fellowship. And I still cannot get peace. I have to go back to it. Well, you don't have any ability to break it. If the ability was yours to break it, what did Christ die for? Let me tell you something. Turn to one that can break it. Turn to one that can forgive you. Turn to one that can cleanse you. And let me tell you something. Forgiveness is one thing, and cleansing is another. You can be forgiven of some sin. In the Old Testament, they were forgiven, but their sins were not taken away. There was still that guilt. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the comers to there were not perfect. They all they could have is the blood of bulls and goats. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse your conscience. You'll feel a cleansing like you've never felt before. And he can break the power of sin. But you got to trust him and come to him and call upon him and cast yourself before him. Call on his name, because he's able to do what he said. Then break and that are bound. But don't you notice what it says in Ephesians 4. No, over here in Matthew 8. It says, and when he was come the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Have you ever seen anybody demon possessed? Listen, you're in a church, right? I'm not one of these, laboratory clean, everybody just looks good, smells good, looks just exactly alike. I mean, you know, when you're in the midst of a crowd like that, that's not here. This is a church that has old, dirty, little, rotten, low-down, stinking sinners that have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's why I said to you a moment ago, if you had known me in Okinawa, you'd wonder how in the world could somebody in Okinawa like that could get up here and preach. It's not the same one. 1973, he changed me and saved my soul and wrote my name in the Lamb. That's why I can identify with a sinner. I certainly can. I can identify with it. We don't condone anybody's sin. What we do is to try to work with you and get you victory over your sin. You need victory over it. You need peace. You need forgiveness. You need cleansing. But that doesn't come from man. It comes from God. And so they set the captive. Liberty to the captives. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 4, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Do you know what he died? You know what happened to Christ when he died and was buried and his soul descended into the heart of the earth? The scripture says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He emptied paradise. Yes, he did. Until the Lord Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day, all the saints that died went down into Abraham's bosom. And down to the heart of the earth, into Abraham's bosom. And then when Christ arose and was accepted at the right hand of the Father and the power of the risen Christ, he led captivity captive. And when he ascended, they went with him. When he was accepted, they were accepted. And that's why this morning I have been accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah to God. It says in Isaiah chapter number 61 to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is that? That's the year of Jubilee. And do you know how that year started? That year of Jubilee was ever 7 times 7. In other words, 7 year cycles. They start counting another 7 year cycle. Every seventh year was the Sabbath. The land rested. At the end of 7 times 7, you had a Sabbath. Then you had another Sabbath. You had 2 Sabbaths in a row, back to back, because the 50th year was a Sabbath. It was the Jubilee. They blew a trumpet. They called Israel together with trumpets. You remember the trumpet? You remember when they marched around Jericho, they blew the trumpet? The trumpet, that's a good study in itself. Just check the Bible out. The times the trumpet shows up. The trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet. Well, the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. At the trump, the last trump, that trumpet's going to sound. And when that trumpet's going to sound, it's going to scare half the country to death. It's going to be a trumpet they can hear. Where'd that come from? It's a trumpet. I'm listening for a trumpet. The most wonderful thing that could happen this morning is for this preacher to hear that trumpet blow. And when that trumpet starts blowing, we're going to hear it. And then the last trump, in other words, when it finishes, up we go to meet him in the clouds. What do you say? You crazy preacher, I'm happier than you are. Amen. I don't know what in the world some of you had to eat before you came in here this morning, but glory to God, bless your soul. I definitely have something in my heart that looks for the coming of the Lord. These people say, preacher, you know, the Lord's got to be coming back soon. I mean, look what's happening over there in Syria. Look what's happening in Iran. Israel has fired rockets down on Iran, a nation state. They're firing on Israel. You got Lebanon. You got Hezbollah. You got Hamas. You got all this going on, preacher. What's going on, preacher? The Bible, my dear friend, told you 2,000 years ago that I would make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. And that's exactly what's happening. When's he coming back? I don't know. But I'd love to see it soon, wouldn't you? I'd like to see it before Christmas. How many like to see the Lord come back before Christmas? How many would like to see the Lord come back before Santa Claus comes, all right? Amen. You better believe it. Look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, liberty to the captives, open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And my dear friend, that is the year of Jubilee. Here's what happens on the seventh month, the 10th day of the month, the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets sounds. Israel is called. Then they have Yom Kippur. What's that? That's the Day of Atonement. That is the most sacred day in the whole Hebrew calendar. If you don't have a Day of Atonement, you have no forgiveness of sins. The word Kippur is from the same word that has to do with the covering, the covering up of something. You see, Yom in Hebrew is day. Kippur, the day of the covering. The atonement had to do with covering. When our Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he was the atonement. This is what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said the atonement, the Lord Jesus is the atonement. The day of atonement is when the priest walks into the Holy of Holies. He walks back into the back and comes in there with a sacrifice for the people. He represents them, the high priest when I say. And then he walks outside once he has received the blessing from God. Once it's cleansed, once he's cleansed, once it's received, the people are standing, they're listening. They're quiet. They're waiting. He walks out, and they can probably tell by looking at his face that he's been in the presence of the Almighty. And then he raises his hands, and he pronounces the blessing. And when he pronounces the blessing, the people receive from God that day, God has atoned. The day of atonement, a day of cleansing, a day of forgiveness, a day of restoration. You know, all that go with the atonement. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation for those that look for his appearing. He's going to come out from that place and he's going to pronounce the blessing upon all those that are looking for his appearing. That's why the Bible says we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. We're looking for his appearing, waiting day by day, waiting like M.R. DeHaan on his tombstone. On his tombstone, it's just one simple statement. M.R. DeHaan, he started out as a medical doctor, smart man. But God's call into the ministry, he called him. So he laid aside his medical tools and his medical books, and he went into the ministry. And he preached the second coming of Christ. He preached it with power. He preached it every day of his life. And now he's gone on to be with the Lord. But you know what they put on his tomb? Maybe today. Maybe today. And that's appropriate for someone like that. If I go on before you do and I leave out of this place, maybe today. Nothing would suit me any better than just simply say, he looked for his appearing, and I do look for his appearing. Maybe today I'm looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke chapter number 7, here's a story that I'm sure you're aware of this. But let's read it. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And when the men were coming to him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities, plagues, evil spirits, and to many that were blind he gave sight. And this is what he said. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way. Tell John what things you've seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In plainer words, that scripture has been fulfilled that he read in Nazareth. when he closed the book. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Well, it was. His life was a life of miracles, one right after another. He established his credentials, no question at all, that he was the Mashiach. Yes, he was. And when he came, my dear friend, he came and did exactly what God sent him to do. I'm going to give you a couple of things here this morning. I think this is beautiful. God spoke three times from heaven for his son. Three times. In Matthew chapter number 3, he came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized of John the Baptist. God spoke and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." This is the Lord giving his approval upon the ministry of Christ as it started. If you'll notice that he was filled with the Holy Spirit there in the Jordan River. And the Bible says immediately he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That was the beginning of his ministry. Filled with the Holy Spirit. He would not start that ministry without the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Why, preacher? Because he's a man completely and absolutely dependent upon the Father through the Holy Ghost to do everything that he did. He never did one thing in his innate power as the second person of the Trinity. He could have. Don't you know, he said to them, that I could do such and such? But he did not. It was all by the power of the Holy Ghost. The second time God spoke is in Matthew chapter number 17. When he took Peter, James, and John and took them to a high mountain. And we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. He shone brighter than the sun in glory and power. What is this? This is preparation for his millennial reign and the glory that shall follow into the future. This is what will come for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame. He could see further than we can see. He knew more than we know. And he was able to do that. And he said, Matthew 17, he was transfigured. And what does it say here? There was a voice that spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." Then the third time the Father speaks is in John 12, 27. And here's what our Lord said. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." John 12, 27. "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to them." That's like when the Apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. If you'll remember, Paul heard a voice. The men with him heard thunder. The voice was for Paul, not them. So the Bible says the people therefore stood by, heard it, said it thundered, and others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now he's about to descend into the battle for your soul. The battle for your soul started before he ever went to the tree. The battle for your soul started when he absolutely and completely gave himself to the will of the Father. There he fought. He saw the wrath of God as it began to unfold upon this, what he had become. He felt that in his soul. My friend, let me tell you something. The cross was hell. The cross was pure hell. Believe me, dying on that tree, it is unbelievable. You can't, there's no end of war. What can you compare it to? We use the word excruciating, speaking forth from the cross. The word excruciating has become part of our vocabulary today. And that's what it means. The cross. The cross. But folks, what he endured in his spirit and in his soul was as bad or worse than anything that a physical cross could offer. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And here he's beginning to descend into it in John chapter number 12. "Now is my soul troubled. Now is my soul troubled." At the Gethsemane he said, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." We have a lot of brethren out there that say, "Oh well, preacher," he was saying, "Lord, if there's any other way to save them, keep me from having to die on the cross." And that's what he was talking about. I don't believe it for a minute. We have had many, 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 many martyrs since then that have died in the arena of Rome at the hands of lions, burned at the stake, and Nero, Lord only knows the horrors that he put them through to light up his orgies, turned them into human flames. Our brothers and our sisters are still suffering to this day for our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going freely to their death because they love the Son of God, and they're not saying, if there be any other way, let this go. No. I do not believe that's what he's talking about. I believe that the waves begin to roll in upon him. And the old timers had a hold of that, I think, better than we do. Think about what's facing you if you don't know the Lord Jesus. Think about what the future holds for you. Oh, my dear friend. Every week that goes by. Every week. Well, this one here dropped dead. This one had a stroke and they're almost dead. This one got killed in a car wreck. This happened here. This happened here. This one was murdered. Over here, here, here. Death, 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 death. Every day, somebody's dying. Are you next? Am I next? Are you ready? I don't know when I'm leaving here. I think I pretty well got it worked out with God. Amen. Don't tell me when I'm leaving. When you get ready for me, just come and get me. Amen. I thought that'd work better. You don't know when you're leaving here, do you? How many of you will guarantee to me you'll be here next Sunday? Let's see how many fools we got in the house. You don't know. You don't know. Are you ready? Are you ready to face the darkness of eternity? If you know the Lord, then you're ready. If you don't know him, you're not ready. That's what I'm supposed to do, see? That's my job. My job is to prepare you and tell you and warn you to be ready. How am I ready, preacher? It's not anything you can do. You can't go out here and live a sinless life to prepare yourself for heaven. That's reward for good works. Good works will never get you in glory. So what do I do, preacher? How do I prepare? You can't prepare yourself. The preparation's already been done. It's already been done. So what do you mean? Just receive the free gift. The free gift. The free gift from him. I'm going to give you the invitations of the Lord Jesus. Now shut up. Here's one. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Invitation number two. Jesus stood, cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Then he said, come and see. Then he said, come and take up your cross. Then he said, come away to a secluded place and rest with me. And then he said, come you blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom. I give you what he said. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto him. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You want rest? You want peace? You want to walk out of here today with joy in your heart? You want to experience something you've never experienced before? Just come to him. He's here. He's willing. He's ready. He went through all that for you. Bow your head. Father, in thy name, I've delivered my soul, Lord. I pray you'd use it now. If there's somebody in this house, and there's got to be somebody in here this morning, they needed to hear what I said. And now they need to go ahead and follow on. They know you're talking to them. They know you're moving their heart. They know that you have their attention. Oh God, today that they would respond to that they'd come to you in Jesus' name. And heads are bowed, nobody looking. Anybody raise your hand and say, preacher Lawson, I want you to pray for me. Something spoke to me this morning like I haven't heard in a long time. God bless you there. God bless you with that. Well, hands everywhere. God bless every one of you. Father, you see all these hands. Lord, thank you. Thank you. That's your work. I've done my work, Lord. You know I can only go so far, but you go far past what I can do. And you've spoken to their hearts now. Lord, draw them, draw them, draw them, draw them, draw them by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Now, we're not going to sing yet. I want to give you an invitation. Would you like to just come down here? Somebody would be glad to open the Bible and show you how to be saved. Or maybe you want to come back to the Lord. You've been out here drifting around. You've been drifting here and you're drifting there. Maybe you'd like to come back to him. Would you like to do that? Come on down here. We'll pray with you. Amen. We got some people coming down here. Some of you preachers, would you come down and pray with these people? Amen. Praise God. You want to come back to the Lord? Let's come back to Him. Now, folks, I'm done. This is His time. This is God's time. Let's let the Lord do what He's going to do now. Amen. I'm the messenger. He's the Almighty. And let Him do what only He can do to help you. Would you like to come down here? Come down to the front and let's pray. Let's talk to the good Lord. We've got more people coming down here. Would you like to come down and pray with them? Anybody else? Praise God. Amen. Let the good Lord do His work now. Amen. Let Him do His work.